Tom freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Better be out there clam digging. Bloody clam digging.
Oh, what happened here?
Go fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the ESE. You know, podcast is ESE. It's ESE. What's up? It's ESE. How's it going? It's Charlie. It's me. And we're here for some wrestling. We're doing the damn thing. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm Bane Duke. You can follow me at Bane Duke on, well, I was going to say Twitter, but actually it's Blue Sky now. Because anyway, I owe Charlie with an X instead of an A. We're back. Honestly, I've been having fun with wrestling lately. I'll keep it a buck. Like, am I always, like, super excited to watch Dynamite Wednesday night? Nah, but now that it's on streaming, I don't feel the pressure to watch it instantly when it comes out anymore. You know, like, so, which when I'm working the hours that I work right now, it's kind of tough for me to do anyway. So, the fact that it's actually available on streaming is a big W for me. I don't know about you, Charlie, but I definitely enjoy that. I sat down and watched Dynamite. Because I watched, like, the two halves of Collision, just, like, on, like, actually on Max out on the television in my other room. And I actually sat down and did that for Dynamite this week. And I think on like Thursday or something. And I was like, damn, this is actually an enjoyable experience. The stream of it looks great. No, like straight up, because I usually would watch it on my computer. That's what I'm saying. Like I watch it on Max, but I'd watch it on my computer. So like watching it on an actual TV, I was like, I don't really know how AEW looks like on like a really good, you know, fidelity screen. Or fidelity, maybe it's not the right word. But you know what I'm saying? Like with like actual, I don't know, TVs are set to look good for like sporting events and stuff like that. You know, like.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't mean to like, you know, to bumble a bunch at the time, but I had a good time sitting down watching Dynamite. I don't know. I just, I forget what I did for, oh yeah, we watched it on the computer for, or at least I did for Collision. But yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, and it's not like there's that much of a difference in the experience for me, but I actually did just enjoy sitting down with some snacks and just like watching the show on television. It's great. You know, that being said, I guess, I mean, your thoughts, Charlie, anything? Yeah, like, how have your thoughts since the transition to Max this year? What are your, like, how do you, how's, do you think it's enhanced your experience watching AEW? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the quality is significantly better. I use YouTube TV before Max, and my complaint about YouTube TV has always been it looks a little grainy. It's still my complaint when watching football.
Right.
But, you know, with Max, it's just, it's really crisp. So it definitely does enhance the experience. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, wrestling, it's 52 weeks a year. There's no off season, right? So
100%.
Just there will be times when you're not feeling it as much as you are others. And I think right now it's the perfect combination of most sports are getting towards the end.
Yeah.
And wrestling always heats up during the summer. Every time wrestling takes advantage of that and heats up during the summer. And it's just like, on top of that, AEW is continuing off their momentum from 2024, building it even further. And here we are in 2025, going into April. This is our last show before April. And it's been an incredible 3 months. And I think Max plays a part of that.
Yeah. Agreed. I guess let's get into it, Charlie. Let's get into favorites. And I have the ball this week to use a John Moxleyism, if you will. One of his good ones, anyway. And yeah, so I was enjoying some good wrestling this week from our fella Kyle Fletcher, who took on Big Bad Brody King, the Lord of the Barks himself. And to be fair, if I was in a faction with Julia Hart, I'd probably be barking too. But
he's anyway, Lord of the Schnitzel Oncology.
I didn't expect that to make the podcast. Hey, Schnitzel Oncology, the podcast? Yeah, coming to you soon. I don't know what that is. So figure it out. All right, the Schnitzel Oncology Hour. Coming. Anyway, yeah, so we had a fake Don Callis in the crowd right behind commentary, which made this match hilarious because Don just looked like he was just so done with the segment as soon as he got there and saw fake Don Callis. Also, Don was a little confused in this segment, so I'm curious about this, Charlie. Before I like actually get deeper into this, I want to know what your thoughts are. At first, he was on commentary, but then he didn't say anything, and then he jumped off commentary because Kyle was like being a fucking idiot and fucking did like the flex and, you know, Brody King then attacks or whatever. But like, yeah. I it was a little like, obviously that was all planned, but like, you know, it was just a little like awkward at first with Don here. So like, I don't know what that like, I obviously didn't do anything to the segment. I was just curious. Don was like just kind of running around here a little bit, you know.
Don Callis is just his presence, I think, to the live crowd. They just love booing him.
Oh yeah, they react and like crazy. It's to just, yeah,
he knows how to play into it. So yeah, it was one of those things. I think they did it really well.
I think he just felt in the moment, like, even though I'm on commentary, it's better for me to run in and like get him. Like, hey, don't fucking idiot, stop flexing. You know, like,
yeah, this was the first match of the night where I was like starting to notice the Minecraft creepers in the background blowing up, and it popped me every single time.
Every time I spotted a Minecraft creeper doing something, bro, I was kind of mad. I'm not gonna lie, not like mad, but I was just like, all right, they paid way too much money for this. If they're fucking throwing the graphics behind everybody and shit, it just made me go.
They would have gotten paid for it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying like the Minecraft movie played like, or whoever the hell enforced this, like invested a lot of money to make this happen this way, you know, because it's like, it was very, very center stage in these segments, which I thought was kind of funny, but, but anyway, yeah, I guess back to the match.
That was a good time.
Oh yeah. The match was great. I mean, you know, with Brody King doing his, you know, big bad meat man stuff, you know, where he was getting the crowd to bark with him and he was like, you know, basically ragdolling Kyle around. And I mean, we always talk about how good, you know, Kyle is at selling, but like, you know, it's not often because, you know, I think I did when he was a part of the Aussie Open tag team, kind of underrated his size a little bit because he was next to Mark Davis, who is, you know, obviously a monster of a man. But like, he's actually really tall. So seeing him actually be, you know, not like that much shorter, but he is shorter than Brody, you know, so it was like interesting to see him kind of actually have to like, you know, flop a little bit for a guy because he is way bigger than him. So he would be able to just toss him around a little bit. So one thing I wrote down. First of all, Kyle's sell on the senton. I don't know how much of that was actually selling. I think bro got crushed, you know. that was crazy. We had Don Callis chance, like you mentioned. There was some thunderous hard hitting shots in this match. Yeah, I mentioned the barks. Oh, and both men's hit dives. So like, obviously Kyle is capable of diving to the outside. We've seen that. He's a flippy guy, you know, and he's in that Will Ospreay mold, if you will, you know, but, you know, I mean, we know Brody can, but he doesn't do it that often. So seeing Brody King take to the skies, you know, always absurd, you know, guy's going to die doing it one day, but hey, it's going to be awesome. You know, it's like Darby Allin. He's going to like backflip off like the top of an arena and we're going to be like, oh, he's dead, but hey, it looks awesome. You know, but, just great stuff. Ooh, there was a couple of spots where people, I think on this show or across the shows, hit Death Valley drivers under the apron, or maybe it's just been a random spot that's been popping up recently, but they've been doing a good job selling it. I think Swerve does one of those, doesn't he? Like off the top rope or some shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's, you know, I don't think he's done that recently, but I'm saying, like, you know, maybe that's why maybe people are priming it in people's minds to be like a devastating maneuver for that match coming up at the pay-per-view, you know? So maybe we'll see. I mean, you know, John Moxley is going to want to take some crazy shit like that. So, let me see. Oh, the stalling tombstone pile driver for the 2.5. That's a good spot. I like that, you know?
It was very good. Yeah.
The stall looked like it was not planned intentionally. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like, oh shit, I can't hold this guy up. And then boom, you know, fucking killed him. So that was good. Yeah, basically, Kyle's just too overconfident to capitalize on his wins. He hit multiple spots that he could have won the match on, but he's fucking feeling himself too much. That's kind of the story here, you know? He ultimately does hit the turnbuckle brainbuster, which is Brody okay after that spot? I don't know. Someone check on his neck. And then we have post-match attack, obviously, and then we had Hobbard on the save, you know? So obviously, we still have Hobbs feuding, and this leads into the next match, which is obviously because Mark Davis is the one that comes in to help with the attack, so it leads into the Hobbs versus Davis match, which we'll get to, obviously, when I talk about Dynamite. But yeah, I mean, just really good stuff all around here. I mean, give me your thoughts, Charlie. I really enjoyed this. It was my favorite thing this week. So what'd you think of Kyle Fletcher versus Mr. Meat himself, Brody King?
Yeah, I thought the match got a lot of time, and they took advantage of that time, right? I believe two commercial breaks. So they really took advantage of it. I thought there was just a lot of the environment of Dynamite in general. I think they took advantage of it very well. Maybe it was just the whole Minecraft thing. Maybe it's Callis 2 in the crowd, right? Like, it was all really fun, and it created a fun energy. And I think that really helped the match, right? You know, they're doing their thing with, they've changed up how they're booking these arenas, and they're booking different arenas now. And it just, it feels more of like, I don't know, like an enclosed, closer environment. And I think that's something that it was missing for a little bit when you'd book these massive venues and, you know, you're only getting it like 40, 50% full. It's just, you can't get that atmosphere you're searching for, right? And I think matches like this and just the way this Dynamite went in general, you're benefiting from it. Now, they were beating the ever-living shit out of each other, which is my favorite style. If we're watching Brody King, that's all I'm looking for. Beat the holy shit out of him, and let's get the ball rolling, Jesus. Just really good brawling, big strikes. Fletcher, I believe you mentioned it, just his selling is so good. Like, he sells these big man moves, and it makes the big man look even more dominant. And that's one of those traits that I think the other wrestler appreciates, and that's why people want to wrestle Kyle Fletcher, right? So, yeah, let's jump into my favorite.
Also to you there, fella.
And we're going back to back with a certain wrestler, and that's none other than Billy Starks. We're jumping all the way to the Collision main event, where we had Jamie Hayter return.
Da, 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 da.
Uh-huh, and defeat Billy Starks. This was, Collision had a lot of energy going, just same as Dynamite, right? And this was the main event match. And I was a little worried when they rang the bell because of how late it was.
But yeah, they did not get much time, which disappoints me.
Yeah, they went over
and run it back on a pay-per-view for a title at some point, probably.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, they did their overrun, and they still got their 10 minutes, and I thought it was really, really solid what they did here. So, basically, Jamie Hayter opens the match up, just knocking her down with shoulder blocks. She's showing the new kid on the block what's up. But Billy Starks, what she's so great at, it's resilience. She's like the current Chicago Bulls. She's just resilient, and that's what she plays into her character. You can punch her straight in the face, but she'll get right back up. And she hits her with a rebound kick. Hayter at one point hit a missile drop kick. That was really, really good. And yeah, they were just battling to the outside. You had Starks throwing her into to the apron, hitting her on the floor. She hit a senton at one point for a near fall. That was really good. And then we get Jamie Hayter showing off her strikes, and it ends with a shotgun drop kick. And at this point, I was just like, my God, I miss Jamie Hayter. I'm so glad we got the visa thing worked out. This wasn't injury related, as the news reported a couple weeks back. It was visa related. She wasn't hurt, and it's all worked out, and it's so nice to see her back. Billy, just again, that do or die attitude that she brings to the ring, where she treats it every spot. It's either killing you or it's killing me. And it's so energetic to watch. Hayter ends up fighting out of the electric chair, hit the Ushiguroshi, a sliding lariat for a near fall. So Billy Starks ducked the Haterade, hit some running strikes, and Jamie Hayter had enough. German suplex. She ducked another Haterade, hooked her arm this time. And once that arm's hooked, you know what the battle is. She hit a step up Haterade off the ropes for the victory. After the match, Athena stared her down. We'll be talking more about Athena today. Athena stared her down from the ramp, and that's how the show closes. So I'm assuming that's probably going to be our first match in the cup. Athena versus Jamie Hayter, which
I hope
first
so. Of all, that's going to fucking
holy
slap.
Shit to that. But Billy Starks getting opportunities, taking her opportunities, and in my opinion, in back-to-back weeks, having my favorite segment of the week. So Duke, I really enjoyed this. There was a lot of things working for it. A match that felt really fresh. And, you know, it was nice to see Jamie back and in a prominent spot like we were hoping. So, yeah, what'd you think of this whole thing? And Hayter hits hard.
Hayter?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, first of all, I completely agree with you about her being back. I'm glad, because I can say this definitively. She's still, there's some really great women's wrestlers in AEW. I love Mariah May, but Jamie Hayter is still number one for me. When I watch her wrestle, I'm just like, yeah, no, this is the best women's wrestler. I don't know. I love Athena.
Her style speaks to you, you know?
I love Toni Storm as well, but, you know, and various others, but like, I just, it's something about Jamie Hayter is like, like the perfect blend of all the stuff that I love in wrestling. And like, honestly, if there was a women's division in All Japan, she probably would have fit in. You know what I mean? Like, which maybe there was. I don't know.
I like that. I like that.
I could see her style working there. I don't know if people will agree with me or not, but anyway. So it's like that cut, that cloth, that flavor of wrestling that I like. So seeing her do that with Billy, who also kind of is similar to her in a lot of ways, I actually see a lot more similarities in her style than even with Athena. Nothing against Athena. It's just the way that Jamie wrestles, you know? And I think Billy came up in a similar indie style that was being more popularized in America, because like there was always hard hitting wrestling here. But I do feel like, I don't know if there was like just sort of a thing because of WWE training influencing the indies for a while or something. But like, it did feel like there was a lot like people just, there's an epidemic of wrestlers sucking at striking, you know, like for a long time, it felt like, you know, like, and some of them still do, but most of them have figured it out at least in some way, or pulled a Jericho and get really good at chops or something, you know, like, but yeah, I've completely sidetracked myself here, but yeah, I enjoyed this and it was good to see Jamie Hayter back in action because like I said, I think she's still my favorite women's wrestler in AEW.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that was fun stuff this week. Really fun stuff that we're going to be getting into throughout the show. But first, we got a little news, and we had a couple comments on our recent video. So, you know, we'll toss those in.
Talk to the people.
I say video. Really, it's our podcast. So we'll talk about that kind of in our mailbag here as we do in the news. But yeah, let's jump right into the news.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Now, I'm the man.
You know who's the man, Duke? Do you know who's the man? It's Sting. He announced some new dates for 2025 or never. He's doing a convention tour. Duke, this thing looks like a fucking, like a tour from Metallica. All right, from April 5th through December 20th, different cons, different expos, different fests, all of it.
Can't wait for the Dave LaGreca segment. Sting tells all about AEW.
Yeah, buddy. I just thought that was kind of funny. If you guys are interested in meeting Sting, I thought this was, I was like, what the hell? Sting 2025 or never? Good on him, man. Just basically
get that
saying,
bag, baby.
He's like, look. If you ever wanted to meet me, if I made an impact on your life, I've enjoyed meeting wrestling fans at events around the world. And as much as I've loved interacting with you all, 2025 will be his last year appearing in full gear. So I thought that was really cool. So, yeah, if that's something people are interested in, man, I mean, he's going to Scotland. He's going everywhere. So
the Scotland.
Scotland. So keep an eye out for that. We had a couple fun stuff here before we get into Cedric Alexander. He was speaking on the newest episode of Insight with Chris Van Vliet, and he said he was asking him how he's doing. He said he's good, everything's fine, he got the news, he wasn't even mad, felt like a pressure was lifted off his shoulders. And basically the conversation one way or another shifts to, you know, how would you feel about working with the Hurt Syndicate again? And he basically says 100%. That's a big chapter of my career. I felt like it was never really fully explored. And I think it'd be great to finish it out. So he said, Alexander said, AEW is where he wants to end up, but it's fine if that doesn't happen. And he listed New Japan and Mexico as other places he wants to go. So it sounds like Cedric Alexander really wants to go and
so
wrestle.
Has Tony Khan commented about Cedric Alexander yet?
Not that I've seen. His 90 days is not up, though.
That could be why, because he doesn't want to be...
His 90 days doesn't come up until May.
That's one thing. WWE can get away with contract tampering because they're the bigger company, so they could just win that lawsuit or whatever. Whereas if AEW gets caught doing that, even if they do that, then they, you know, go to jail, you know, or something like...
Yeah, they don't... it's not something you want to do. And so... Look, we've talked before about bringing in certain people in the roster, just kind of elevating, if you will, where AEW's, there's a lot of ways of framing this, but in 2019 and 2020, where your kind of average or your mid-card wrestler is, right? In 2025, that bar is so much higher now. And that's one of the reasons AEW's really, you know, kicking ass. And I think Cedric Alexander is one of those guys that would, in 2025, he'd be, while he'd be around the average marker, he would fit right in with the Hurt Syndicate. I think everyone would fully embrace Cedric Alexander because they'd know what it is. He's not going to walk in and be the world champion, but he can walk in and be a great part of the Hurt Syndicate and maybe still end up turning into a singles career. Like this guy. Kenneth. Yeah. I mean, look, there's something there and there always has been. So it's nice to see again, people talk positive about AEW in the news cycle, but also what do you think about Cedric and him wanting to, yeah. And he said that's his dream,
finish that out. Yes.
Yes. That's where he wants to go is AEW
thing in his career. Yeah. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that shows he's got interest on his side, not just in working again with the Hurt Syndicate, which is a question mark in and of itself. So I'm glad that's the way that Chris, and then by the way, I got like shit on a comment that I posted on one of Chris's videos where I was complimenting his interviewing skills. Anyway, and I'm not saying anything about that comment. That person can have their own opinion. It's all subjective. But like what I'm getting at here is that like I always thought he was a good interviewer, so it doesn't surprise me at all that that's how he phrased the question, because it leaves it open, because it's not just assuming that he's wanting that, right? Because you could just assume that as an interviewer and you could come off like an idiot if they're like, actually, I don't even have any interest in that. So he framed it that way. That way he could lead himself into saying, but I would like to do that, but because he doesn't have to even say he has interest in AEW at that point, you know? So like, which he could be talking to Tony Khan right now. I mean, he probably shouldn't be, but he could be, you know, like.
And he always feels like he's having conversations with people, and it doesn't feel like he's trying to just gotcha things.
Oh, 100%. He just wants to talk to people. They always, at least in my opinion, I haven't watched any of his celebrity interviews, but other than wrestlers, I guess, because wrestlers do count as celebrities, but any of his like mainstream celebrity interviews. But like he seems like a pretty genuine dude, so yeah, I don't know. I would be interested in seeing Cedric pop up. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. I didn't realize he was still under like 90 days or whatever, so that makes more sense now that I think about it. But
yeah,
it feels like a no-brainer to me, especially if they're gonna have MJF do this thing for a little bit, then like maybe you could show up and boot MJF out. That'd be kind of fun, you know? Like,
be pretty good shit. So Bobby Cruz, it was going to remain hashtag All Elite for the foreseeable future. He posted on social media this week saying his AEW ROH contract expires on Sunday. Oh, good thing. I signed a new one this week. It makes sense. I mean, they want to keep him around. Bobby Cruz is a great voice. He's a great announcer. He's a legend. He's a fucking legend.
Voice of Ring of Honor, right?
I mean, so he's an absolute legend.
Well, actually, Rick Abani is probably the voice of Ring of Honor at this point, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like,
Rick Abone Zone. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. We had Ring a departure this week, though. Saraya. So we kind of talked about last week. She had a big announcement coming. We speculated what it might be. You know, they signed her to a contract. It was a one-year deal. What does that mean? And Saraya has officially announced her mutual departure from AEW. The headlines are all saying there's no bad blood. She posted on... Oh, God. I don't see where it was from. I'm assuming some type of podcast she has or some type of news article that she does.
I believe
does.
It was the debut of her new podcast.
There we go.
Right? Is that right? Is that maybe not?
I don't see the source listed here, but she said, it's mutual, but I love my time at AEW and I had such a blast with the girls there. Oh, that was from a tweet. And she said, it'll hold a special place in my heart. Tony was a great, AEW was great. I feel so lucky to be a part of that family for a couple years. Here's the 2025 WTF am I going to get myself into now? And she's now a published author with her memoir, Helen Boots, Clawing My Way Through 9 Lives. Now, do you think it's a, we'll just fucking, do you think it's a ghostwriter? Or you think she actually wrote it? Is this a Millie Bobby Brown situation?
I mean, you never know with the celebrity books of any kind. Like,
you never know.
Honestly, you never know with like even autobiographies, like because like a lot of people, like even if you didn't like write,
we have
like,
to see the information about
the editor can do a lot in the edit to save a book from being shit. Is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like,
if you guys don't know what ghostwriters are with celebrity books, that's a fun rabbit hole. I think you'll enjoy because a lot of these celebrity books, it'll actually say the actual author's name on
it's actually
the book.
Literally a thing in The Apprentice about this. Like, yes, there's an author that wrote the book in that movie, and he's very clear about the fact that he's writing the book. He has no actual input from the other guy at all, basically.
She's pursuing acting roles, is launching a new podcast called Rule Breakers. Oh, cool. There you go.
Yeah, I looked it up. When I looked up Saraya podcast, Rule Breakers came up, and it looks like it's going to be like, I don't know what it's going to be about.
Sounds like Harley Cameron will be there. Musician Hayes Warner, Teen Mom Stars. Yeah. So she's doing her own thing. Good for her. Look, again, I think Saraya did what she did in AEW. She had her big moment. She tried as much as she could to get other people over, and she wrestled as safe as possible. I never disliked anything she did. I thought the Outcast had potential, and it spawned into, you know, it was just another version of Tony Storm's character.
It was around for a long time. It's probably the longest lasting faction in the women's division by a mile, I would think.
Like, right? I think, like, it was always fine.
Unless we consider Britt and Jamie, who just were together like perpetually for forever, but that doesn't really count as a faction because they never really gave it a name that I can think of, right? Like,
but yeah, I think it's one of those scenarios. There's no bad blood here, and I don't mind when people do their own things, and she's going to pursue her acting. She's going to do her other stuff.
Outcast gave Angelo Dawkins a singles career, or Angelo Dawkins, Angelo Parker. I assume it's Angelo Dawkins. Yeah, that's a confusion right there. No one else will ever make.
It's cool.
Literally, the skinniest dude ever, and like Mr. Meat over there in the tag team. God damn it. Anyway,
look, I've always liked Saraya. I've always liked Paige. So I'm happy that this didn't end ugly. Is that simple to say?
Are you saying that you thought that there was a possibility that it'd be some drama with her? Because
in 2022 or 2021, when she left WWE, it got ugly. Well, so,
to be fair, the WWE were literally, as I understand it, I don't know that to be a correct understanding, it didn't seem like it was the greatest situation for her there. Like, they weren't letting her do stuff that she wanted to do, that she should have been
allowed
to do.
She was able to wrestle. She had the Wembley moment, and, you know, it's good.
Wembley Stadium, bro.
I think her name will always be on the title, and I think that's, I think it's safe to say.
Do you think it sends more energy to your body than when you hear that clip of Will going Wembley Stadium, bruv?
No.
Right.
Any thoughts you had on Saraya mutual departure?
I think she did, like you said, some good stuff while she was here. She didn't overstep. She never felt like she was taking the spotlight away from other people, I don't think.
Yeah.
Which, I'm glad that she never had to deal with accusations of at least that. I mean, people said it anyway with every person.
It always felt like she was trying to elevate others. And yes. I've always liked that.
I mean, she put over people in most of the big spots she was in, I think. I want to say, other than maybe like the first feud with Britt Baker. But like, even then, I don't know.
I mean, even her last matches, like the one putting over Jamie's return. And that was kind of one of the big ones, you know? So, I believe she put over Mariah as one of Mariah's first.
You know what?
First.
This is going to, she's going to probably hate this comp, but she almost filled like a female role like Chris Jericho for a long time. It felt like, you know, like where he kind of just elevates other people with his faction and then like tries to do something with them. And then if they works out, great. If they don't, then, you know, she moves on to other people and tries to do that.
I remember Riho beating her in a pretty big moment. So like she knew what to do. And I'm happy we got her time here and that we can talk about her and that she'll not be erased from AEW history, you know, like the Butcher. So, yeah, there's other people that are probably like, dude, what the fuck are you smoking? She was horrible. Or they think she's the greatest thing ever. That's what we love, right? So, yeah, we got a little bit of a mailbag this week, which is really just us talking about comments that people left on our video. As always, you can either send us messages on Blue Sky. I don't know if you can DM on that. But I know you can tweet at us. Fuck, it's not called tweeting. You
can... yeah, you want to say it? You want to say it?
You can skeet on us on Blue Sky. So, yeah, there's always that. And Spotify, of course, because Spotify has an open comment thing. I know a lot of people use Spotify for podcasts because it's personally what I use, too. We had Trey Hill here leave us a post here. He said, I think
there's
something...
Bro's government name? That's crazy.
It's a Spotify name, bro. I think there's something to AEW bringing sports entertainment to the best wrestlers rather than WWE doing the opposite that has let AEW unlock this next level of wrestling quality we are seeing. And yeah, I think that's an astute point out of Trey. Look, AEW is doing one of their whole goal has always been we want to bring wrestling first, right? And while WWE, they've always benefited from, I want to make the biggest, flashiest characters you've ever seen. I want iconic characters. Hence, why do you see Yeet everywhere, right? They want that. That's the big thing they're going for. And if you ask most kids right now who their favorite wrestler is, they'll probably say Jey Uso. And that is a big thing that they go for. Well, AEW, yes, you want to do that, right? And that's why you get your Darby Allins with the face paint and this, that, and the other. They've really always tried to do their thing of, when you're watching AEW, you can flip it on, and it doesn't matter what show it is, right? On Dynamite, oh, you can watch Kenny Omega wrestle. Ah, GG's. On Collision this week, oh, yeah, go ahead. You can watch Jamie Hayter wrestle. Have fun, you know? You can watch Mercedes Moné wrestle. It doesn't matter. Like, every single time you flip on AEW, you are getting that high level of wrestling. And that's always been the goal, and that's, like Trey said, I mean, unlock that next level of wrestling quality that we're seeing. That's been kind of the mission statement. That's what they're doing. Duke, I'm sure you're pretty much in line with all this, right? Like, this is...
Yeah, I agree with the point. NXT
takeovers, right?
Oh, yeah. I agree with the point, and I would add to it that I think it's not just that it allows it to unlock this next level. It allows television with AEW to feel like a must-watch for people that love this kind of wrestling, because I feel like something that, like, maybe, and by the way, if this is the way that you consume wrestling, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. If it's your work schedule, your life schedule, you don't have the time to dedicate to it, or maybe it's not as big of a passion of yours as it is for us, right? But, you know, if say you don't watch everything every week, you may not get like this full sense, but like every match feels like it's like really important a lot of the time, because it feels like they are willing to give, you're not sure whether they're going to give Billy and Jamie like 25 minutes to close the show, because both of them are capable of putting up an insane match to do that. But, you know, we've only seen Billy really get anything like north of 15 minutes on like Ring of Honor, you know, pay-per-view main events. You know what I mean? Like, so like, you don't know what they're willing to do. And you also know that Tony Khan is a madman, you know, so you don't know what's going to happen in any given match. And it makes it sort of like you need to watch every match, because every match could be like something that Meltzer could probably get 4.5 to 5 stars, you know, like, not always going to happen, but it's a potential. And that's insane. I've never even thought about a wrestling company being like that before.
And there's different people that how they consume
wrestling.
We're
talking
about TV. Yeah. It's just it's how you consume it. Like, I've seen before people say, yeah, I just skip the matches and watch the other stuff. And to me, that sounds absolutely insane. But it's just one of those things, like, maybe you just seek out the matches. And I think a lot of us that were massive fans of New Japan, that love New Japan Pro Wrestling, a lot of times, yeah, we can watch the backstage comments and we can watch the other stuff and it's being translated by Chris, or you can speak Japanese, right? But mainly you're watching the in-ring wrestling and you're watching the in-ring storytelling. And it's just, yeah, it's just a different way of consuming wrestling. And then Kid Coheed, and I thought this is a really cool thing to talk about here, Duke. Kid Coheed wrote to us, he said, I think the quality itself hasn't risen. I think the valleys aren't as low. We don't have mid-tier indie talents taking up spots on TV. And the idea of the best wrestle on AEW is becoming true. AEW doesn't have a weak trios division, correct? Or a tag division, correct? Or a women's division, correct? Everyone are world-class talents. And then I like this one specifically. There are no beaver boys or whatever eating time. That is so true. And by the way, Kid Coheed, I love the term beaver boys. That's fucking brilliant. But Duke, I mean, what do you think of that idea? The valleys aren't as low. And something we talk often about, every single division now over the years is becoming more and more loaded. And Saraya, just to tackle that one as well, when she left the division, the women's division, it's much better than when she came in. So she could probably say in her own eyes, you know, if she wanted to, she was a part of that, right?
Well, I also don't think she division, ever, like, as an older, quote-unquote, female wrestler ever, like, you know, I don't think she ever hit, like, a wall. Maybe one or two matches, but none of them were ever in big spots. She knew how to condition herself, you know, for how little she'd wrestled in the last however many years.
Yeah.
To make the big spots matter. So she never, like, degraded the quality, if you will, if you can even do that by being one wrestler that's not, like...
What do you think of the idea that the quality itself has risen, but the valleys aren't as low?
Oh, yeah, the valleys. I mean, that's probably true across the board. It's been probably well over a year than I can remember there being, like, a bad match on AEW television, to be honest with you. Can you remember one? I can't.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time.
Nion,
like, a legitimate,
since, like,
bad match.
Has there been a bad match? And you know what I think elevated this? And I'm not even kidding. I think it was when Swerve and Hangman feuded the first time a while back. I think that kind of, like, kicked people into a gear. I think we even remember talking about that then, that it felt like things had been elevated since those two had started going so hard with each other. Like, there's probably some merit to that. It's not just those two, but there is definitely a competition between pro wrestlers. And when they see somebody going out there and having like a career, like making feud, like Swerve did with Hangman Adam Page, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Bro burned his house down. Come on, man.
No, but it's one of those things, and we've talked about it. I think you can always trace it back to who the contracts they're letting run out, right? And the people they're bringing in. Just this recently, we've brought in Megan Bain, who's been incredible addition to the women's division. Speedball Mike Bailey, which I think people that haven't seen him before are already starting to be impressed. Just this week, Kevin Knight? Are you kidding me? Josh Alexander supposedly on the way? Like, they're bringing in really, really
Kevin Knight, another talents. Standout from the 2023 Super Juniors.
Yes, they're bringing in really good talents, and they also need to make sure they secure people, which they've done before. They've done very well. But there's a big one this year, and it's Mariah May. You need to secure her. That's 5 a big
years
one.
From now, there's going to be lore about this podcast where people talk about how much we used to talk about the 2023 Super Juniors tournament because how much it changed, you know, like cruiserweight wrestling. I
mean, yeah, Bailey, Leo Rush, Kevin Knight, all these guys that are now in AEW were incredible in that. So Leo's another example of someone they brought in last year. We would often talk about, you know, one of the big.
Is that going to be a flashpoint in cruiserweight wrestling history when people are making like their videos describing it, like when the last of those like the great generation with wrestlers of that like size that we have right now like retire? Is that going to be the retrospective video? Is going to be like at this point they just New Japan just decided to have the greatest Super Juniors tournament of all time and no one realized it, you know, like
and it was a peak in the valley there, boy.
Not to completely sidetrack us here, but I was just thinking about that because that tournament is so good.
Yeah, it was. So thanks again, everyone, for writing into us. We really appreciate that.
And any of you out there that listen on a regular basis, if you have it within yourself, please write in because I'd like to hear from you. Because
if you got a thought on the show, a question, it doesn't even matter. You can tell us, as always, to go fuck ourselves. So without
as always, you, let us know your thoughts.
Without telling you to go fuck yourself, Duke, you had AEW Dynamite this week. Where we opened up with
Dynamite.
The greatest intro video package ever. It was just the Minecraft the Minecraft thing. Intro. Oh, yeah.
Fuck Minecraft. Who even plays that fucking shitter game? Anyway.
You shut the hell up.
See how much my mic just peaked right there, by the way? Anyway,
USOB.
Anyway, mic peaking. Mic don't lie. Anyway. By the way, this was a Dynamite in St. Paul, Minnesota, bud.
Ah, Minnesota.
Minnesota, basically Canada, right? Anyway, but yeah, so opened up the show with a little bit of Kenny Omega, bud. A little bit of Omega. He is the tablecloth. I mean, he just is. I don't make the rules. Says it in his entrance, well, his old entrance song. How do we feel about the new entrance song? Some of our friends, on it, like, what do we think? I mean, I think it's fine. I don't think it's, like, killing anything.
As long as it's, I just don't like generic shit. And this is it's good. So it's different, right? Yep. I can't do the fucking generic wrestling themes that they've become so normalized. So
that's true. No, you're right. Wrestling themes, especially like WWE wrestling themes, like in the last like 5 years, I feel like I've just even some of the AEW
becomes
ones.
So normalized. I can't stand it.
They get used to one person, and this happened in WWE every now and then, too. What was, like, the CFOs were there for, like, a decade, and, like, they made some good shit, but they also made a lot of, like, rancid shit, you know, like, not like Rancid the band that does Ruby Soho's song, but, you know. Yeah.
That's why I like Mikey. He cooks.
He does
quite frequently.
He cooks way more times than he doesn't, so I gotta give him that. So as long as he keeps that up, we're good, but... Yeah, he's taking on Blake Christian, who was accompanied to the ring by Lee Johnson, big shoddy. Kenny Omega is, you know, super over with the crowd right now, as he should be. He's been gone for like, what, 2 years, it feels like, you know? So, you know, hey, we got Kenny back. They did some nice show, like opening chain wrestling that was really solid. Blake Christian hit the middle finger on Omega, which I thought, you know, makes sense. He doesn't like the guy. I think they did showcase Blake here a little bit, which is good. I feel like they're just locking it on showcasing Blake. I have no idea why. I mean, I'm down. He's good. So
it's like a test run right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I hope it works out because I liked him in Ring of Honor when we were in Ring of Honor.
A couple months ago, you know?
yeah, hey, he can work it. It can work out. So I'm 100%, you know. I don't know what that accent was. Yeah, so anyway, he hit the Snapdragon's V-Trigger, one-wing angel. Then Kenny got the promo afterward. He talked about his opponents for Dynasty. I didn't note anything down specific that he said. It was just really out of breath, Kenny, talking about.
He didn't really get anything in.
Yeah, they were like, all right, he's tired. Just have Mike come out. So Speedball comes out. And he says Speedball. He's going to go balls to the wall to beat Kenny. Ricochet then cuts in from a video, which Kenny apparently wasn't clued into the fact was not obviously live because he couldn't respond to it. So, or the satellite connection just didn't work. I don't know how that worked, but either way.
That's Kenny Omega humor right there. He knew.
Correct. He knew, yes. He says that Ricochet just basically cut in and said, yeah, you guys can argue over your shit all you want. Do that. It's my championship to win anyway. So, you know, suck it, basically, is what essentially. Actually, he didn't say suck it. He said, aha! Anyway. And then Kenny was like, well, tries to respond to him. It doesn't work because it's, you know, recorded video, obviously. Kenny Omega humor. And then Kenny says him being Ricochet and Speedball are going to be stepping stones for his legacy, which, God, is that true? It might be true, you know?
There could be some truth there.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen to you in the wrestling business sometimes. Ricochet has been on a hell of a run, and I mean, Speedball's just getting here. It's not like he has to beat Kenny, you know? So if it was one-on-one Kenny versus Speedball, I'd have a way more faith that Speedball could win that because Kenny doesn't need this championship, you know? So, but having Kenny hold a championship for a while is not a problem either. You know, it's like having Mercedes hold a championship for a while. And yes, I am comparing them. Anyway.
I'm always a fan of Speedball's cadence and how he talks. And it's nice to see that even played into the live mic.
I don't what think part I've, of Canada is he from? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, but I've always loved his cadence, and it's really just I just like the guy. Like,
there's like a bit of cockiness to him in every promo too. Like
when he walked up and said congratulations, and Kenny goes thank you. It's Canadian fucking politeness. And
little,
I'm just
a little Canadian. Like, yeah. Sorry, this match is 2/3 Canadian. Shit. Yeah, we might have to root for Ricochet.
I enjoy it. And Ricochet. So
do we have to root for Ricochet here? Because he's the American? Shit.
Shit. Nah, come on. Come on. We're Team Canada here, buddy.
That's true.
Ricochet.
Or some Saskatoon goons.
Wasn't there because it was his wedding. So he's. We got Samantha finally kind of. In a way, mentioned and kind of shown. I mean, so he's going to get the girl and the belt. Look, if she wants to be a manager in wrestling and, you know, when she walked away from WWE, one of the big things she said was she wanted to be a manager, but she also wants to pursue her other careers. If she ends up wanting to do the manager thing with Ricochet, oh my God, that it could be some really, really good stuff.
You'd say it would be the bomb, but
yeah, she could be the modern day Bobby the Brain.
Ah, shit.
This is fun. Yeah, good stuff.
Agree. We recapped Bandido successfully retrieving the mask last week. And Jericho says he's sick of asking for greatness from his degenerate colleagues that he brought in as part of the learning tree. I invented those words. He didn't say those things, but that's basically what he was saying. I'm what do you call that? What's that term?
Filling in the gaps, bro.
Filling in the gap, reading between the lines. There's like paraphrasing. That's what I'm looking for. Anyway, I thought this was pretty funny because the Young Learning Tree Bucks did the little Snoopy walk away after they got shit on by Jericho. So that was pretty funny. Says he wants Bandido's mask. He really never wanted gravity's. He always wanted Bandido's. It was all a game. And he's gonna say mask versus title for the match. Sorry. Mask versus title at Dynasty if he wants a Ring of Honor World title shot. And asks him the question, will it be worth it if I make your mother cry again when I take your mask and embarrass you? I mean, again, Jericho every now and then is going to do some good shit. That's just the way that it works, yeah. You know? This is good shit.
I think he's been practicing with some Alomancy because he's coming up with some cool shit here.
You think he might be performing, what's it, the soothing on us a little bit? Yeah.
So he's definitely doing a little something-something, and I just don't know what metal
he's using. I think Brody King burns pewter.
Definitely. Mosaisley. So, a bit of a fool. Yeah, title versus mask at Dynasty.
Ricochet definitely burns fucking whatever it is that you yank yourself up into the air with. Is that 10? I can't remember.
I think so. So, yeah, this was, dude, I mean, I'm really into the Jericho Bandito stuff, man.
No, it's really good. And I always thought if they were going to do something because of the match that they had forever ago, Bandito's first story should probably be with Jericho, because Jericho handles those pretty well usually, you know?
And like, I still don't think I want Bandito to win the title, because I don't want him to go to Ring of Honor. Like, I don't know how much Jericho's showing up on Ring of Honor either, but, you know.
Is there a way we could rig it so he beats him, but he doesn't win the title somehow? Like, a count out or something? That could work, right? People would hate it, but I would whipper that to him winning the title.
We ball, buddy. F it.
Fair enough. All right. We talked about... Or no, we didn't. Moving on. Yeah. MJF arrived and gave a little shade to Prince and also the state of Minnesota. Called out MVP to the ring. Called him a legend. Says that they're a lot alike. MJF said, I actually misspelled in my notes. Basically, MJF agrees. He says, I want to join the Hurt Syndicate. I'm down, basically, because obviously he sees a lot of similarities there. I'm sure I missed something in here, but like, my notes got screwed up here. I don't know what happened. I think I just didn't finish what I was writing or something. Anyway, then we have the actual, you know, tag team champions in Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin show up. And they show up and try to rip up the card at MJF, or I think they even successfully do it. They grab the card from... It was a little awkward at first. Bobby comes out and says, give me the card. And MJF couldn't quite hear him over the crowd at first, so it was pretty funny. Anyway, I actually don't even know if that was true. I think MJF was just being an asshole. But hey, you know, whatever. You never know with MJF, right? So, there's some tension amongst the ranks. They don't like Mr. Friedman being added to the group. We do get a segment later. It's later on in this show, or if it is, I'll get to it. It's on Collision, where they talk about this and they like resolve it. Either way, the point is, I was not surprised that there was tension. Oh, is that on this show? I couldn't remember which show it was on. Either way, we'll talk about it. But I'm not surprised that there's tension, because I mean, it's not anything about MJF. It's just that specifically him, and this is something that in the segment later Bobby hits on. He's betrayed everybody he's ever worked with. So, you know, like, it's not necessarily a thing about him. It's literally like who MJF actually is. And I think that makes a lot of sense, that like this group that's trying to become like the killers, you know? Yeah.
There's just a big key component MJF's missing to be in the Hurt Syndicate. So I don't think he's ever going to get in.
Oh, that's why I'm saying, that's why I brought up the idea of Cedric being the one to come in. And like, I don't know, it probably wouldn't be soon, but like maybe we run a month or two with MJF, like just not fitting in with the group, right? I mean, he'll fit in with the group because he'll hurt people. Like, that'll be the thing. At first, they'll be like, this is going to be like a fish out of water. Maybe not even fish out of water. He's just going to like feel out of place for a little bit. And then he'll do something like he'll hurt somebody, right, with the group. And then that'll earn him his stripes. But then he's going to do something stupid or say something wrong or something, right? And then that's probably like hopefully around when Cedric's 90 days up, right? If it's even going to be him that they bring in, right? If he even comes into AEW at that time. Or if he, you know, doesn't go straight onto the indies and do some stuff there for a bit, because I could see him doing that too, or even going to Japan for some time. But, I don't think he's staying with the group long term, but I do think there's going to be an angle around this. I don't think he's just going to be, like, thrown to the wolves. I think that what would be the point of even threatening to put him in the group if they're just going to, like, attack him? Because he's, like, kind of tied up with another feud right now. I don't know what the point of this would be.
Yeah, it just buys him. It's putting a fun little thing, and maybe they'll even...
Is this just, like, because MJF's not in the cup with Hangman? Like,
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever officially be in the group. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
I have no idea.
It's fun. It's a fun. And hey, what do we always ask for? Some intrigue. I'm intrigued. What happens next week?
It's interesting. So you know. And then the other thing here, the Learning Tree Challenge for the championships. They didn't. They kind of got shit on in the mic a little bit here by MVP. It was a tough one.
Yeah, I don't mind. MVP is one of the guys that can run people down, and it should motivate you.
Yes, because Big Bill's not bad on the mic. Yeah. He even threw this, was trying to get his point across, but just MVP was being like, fuck you, basically, you know? So
That was pretty funny. We talked about Fletchie versus King. We had that led into Hobbert, Powerhouse Hobbs versus Mark Davis in the meat match. So they actually had some nice like opening, like they just traded some suplexes. It was like something like a little throw off at the beginning. That was pretty cool. You don't usually see that out of the big men. That took a lot of their energy out immediately. And the excuse for this match being as short as it was that there was obviously the pre-match battle between the two of them that they had to be separated so the match could start. And ultimately, Hobbs catches him with the spinebuster. Don claims that it was shenanigans due to that pre-match, you know, battle that was ultimately their fault because they decided to jump, Brody after the match. So, you know, but yeah, so any thoughts on that one? I mean, obviously, you know, Hobbs did his meat. I was going to say Hobbs threw his meat around, but that doesn't sound right. But I'm going to go with it now.
Yeah, I thought it brought the hard hitting that we were wanting. But just, you know, I mean, it was like 3 minutes. I mean, like, you know, actual bell ring time. So, yeah, I think we'll eventually get another one of those, right?
What, Mark Davis versus Powerhouse Hobbs?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, Hobbs has been just fighting big giant dudes recently, right? So,
yeah.
Checks out. Throw it on probably don't throw it on the pre-show. Maybe this, could this make the pay-per-view? Is it too late for that? Could it be like the post pay per view Dynamite? Maybe they may not made event, but like they get like a middle of the spot, middle of the show spot.
This feels like a big Dynamite match. Yeah, we got six matches already.
It should be like a Street Fighter or something though, because these two feel like, you know, they could have a great.
We do need a match on pay per view that's not for the titles. So
this could be that. Yeah,
could potentially
be that. All right, Nick Wayne, Mother Wayne, and Kip Sabian are backstage, and they say they're going to properly execute a plan. I don't think there was more to it than that. I think that's literally what they said.
They were like saying something along the lines of they'll address Cage when he's there. So we're definitely keeping
that open.
They're
left on their own for right now.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we'll see how that goes, you know. Yeah. But
I think
through the few segments they've done, it's not really working for me, but they could win me over. So
I do think Kip taking Nick Wayne under his, you know, under his wing, if you will, with Mother Wayne there. I actually do like their dynamic of just the three of them.
Yeah,
but yeah, we need a little.
Yeah, we need something.
Perhaps Nick Wayne's getting recruited to somewhere else. So
perhaps it's possible. Rated FTR had a sit down with Tony Schiavone, and Dax and Cope still have some tension between each other. But the real notable thing isn't just the tension there. Cash is also not happy with Dax here. And it's very obvious now, especially when you think about it, looking back on what we saw on Collision. Those seeds were there. We just weren't sure how it was going to go at the time. You know, we weren't sure, is he just defending Cope because he's his boy, you know? Really great segment. Phenomenal stuff here, you know? Dramatic, emotional. Cash and Dax, I mean, people give them shit a lot. Like, we literally heard one of our friends talking about how, like, they're just technical wrestlers in their mind. This is the kind of storytelling these guys do. Real, raw, emotional shit. It's like Dax talking about his daughter, you know? Like, it's real, raw, emotional shit. That's what those guys do. Because that's the kind of storytelling that they like in wrestling. And they do it really well here. Oh, and I guess they're going to challenge for the Trios Championship. Given the amount of tension that's going on right now, A, I don't know how that's going to go for them. And B, even if it does, if we're going to have Dax and Cash potentially feuding with each other, you know, is that something we're just going to take care of in a couple weeks on TV? Or are we actually going to let them actually have like a real long-term feud? Like, and when I say long term, I mean like, you know, at least a pay-per-view cycle or something, you know, like. So,
hey, let it, you know, it's going to be a great, great trios match, I think. So I'm cool if it works. Again, I'm a little sad that it doesn't feel like they're going to win because
one's ever going to win, and that this fucking trio that is horrible is going to have these championships forever. I'm sorry. The people in the trio are fine, but the three of them together just aren't that interesting. I'm sorry.
No, they just haven't been given a good run at all. They, you know what it is? They never needed these fucking titles with what they're doing.
No, it never needed to be a belt collecting faction. John being the champion and just holding that hostage could have been the whole gimmick, and it probably would have helped it. Like, they've held two championships hostage for, like, it feels like 75 years. Like, I'm over it. Put this on these guys. I don't care if they literally fight and we don't have trios matches for, like, a month.
Like we were talking earlier, the depth of the trios division is so great. but yet, you know, what are they fighting for?
Have Dax and Cash having a best of seven series while they defend the titles every other week on Collision as well. I'm down.
Swerve Strickland walked out to the ring, called out John Moxley. John obliged. And basically, I noted down some things that that Swerve said here. He said that Mox used to be used to represent what AEW was, but now he's a coward. He's not worthy to hold the championship anymore. At this point, because he's starting to get a little, offensive, Claudio appeared behind Nana as a threat. Mox said that Swerve represents everything that Moxley loves about pro wrestling, but he's not giving him a handout. He's got to earn it. It almost feels like John was like saying, like, please just God fucking take this thing off of me. I'm over it. You know, like, I'm not even kidding. That's like kind of the energy I felt. Like, he's tired. Somebody please fucking beat me. You know, like, and I'd be tired after all those fucking long-winded promos he's been cutting anyway. But yeah, I mean, there's good stuff here. Marina and Willow both showed up. You know, there's a lot of threatening going on here. I don't think he actually used these words, but he did call Mox a fake-ass bitch in so many words, you know, that him being Swerve. The Death Riders retreated instead of attacking. Just kidding, Marina actually attacked because she doesn't follow the rules of anybody, apparently. So, yeah, that happened. Everything was going good up until that moment, I would say. Nothing against Marina, you know, but it was just like a little like random, you know, because she really doesn't like Willow, you know, whatever. Thoughts?
It was very long, but yeah. I thought they addressed a lot of things that they needed to. And, you know, we need that Willow versus fucking... I know we set up the tag for next week, which is, yes. You know, I think they're doing a good job of building this out on TV and making use of it on TV. I'm excited for maybe the Willow and Marina match on the pay-per-view. Hey, now that would be nice.
That would be interesting. We do non-zero need matches hour as well. Ooh, that would be cool. I'd be down.
That's me. That's wishful thinking, but hey.
Maybe
because
days.
She's involved with the Death Riders and this is literally the top of the, you know, the top of the line. So.
This is true. Sorry, I was scanning my notes for a second. So backstage, Shibata has commandeered a camera. What do you think he does to the cameraman? It can't be good. Shibata's not like asking nicely.
I would like to imagine he's literally like fucking rainmakering him.
Yeah, probably. Because all the times he got hit with that by Okada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Max Caster got choked out by Samoa Joe here, which was straight comedy. Great segment, you know? We had a nice little Dynasty video package here that I just like the editing on. Every time I see a video package that I like the editing on, I make note of it. Jay White is backstage and enters the Owen Hart Cup, which is shaping up to be a fucking phenomenal tournament so far, Charlie. Oh my God.
Yeah, it is.
And I said that at this point, and we still got more announcements after this. So, you know, crazy. And he said, he wants his challenge, someone that wants to enter the Owen to challenge him to a match on Collision. So fuck it. Get in, you know, Top Flight with AR Fox. Yeah, they took on some enhancement talent here. I didn't write down the names. Notable, Leo in action. We're in the crowd. We also had the Learning Tree watching in the back. They really tried to shove the Learning Tree into every segment after this. It was wild. they really did, though. I noted it down every time because it was like, what? Okay, sure. I guess they are watching on. And Jericho did get up their ass, so, you know. Takeshita took on Mark Briscoe. Mark is selling like his ass off for everybody lately. I will give him that. Cause he's not winning shit. I'll keep it a buck, you know? When was the last time he won? God, that has to be a while ago, you know?
Oh, we'd be, yeah.
but he sells good. This is a nice little bounce back singles win for Takeshita here, you know? He did Elo drop off the barricade, nice German suplex. They had some suplex spots. Takeshita put his foot on the rope at one point to prevent, I think it was it a J-Driller? No, it was probably something else, right? Probably like the Froggy Bow or something. It was some big move that he countered with the foot on the rope. And then I'm pretty sure he hit him with the Raging Fire to win. I could be wrong about that, but it might have been, it's either that or the knee strike, you know?
Raging Fire. I almost picked this one as my favorite. This was my second.
It was a good match. I just
this is my second favorite. I Takeshita looked really good here after getting, you know, he needed the rebound, right? I just really enjoyed it. And Mark Briscoe always looks enjoyable in these moments. Like, he's just, he's so solid. And yeah, it was a really good clash of styles. That was one of the main things I wanted to note here. But yeah, it really fun, just like fucking barely 10-minute match, and they beat the holy shit out of each other. Actually, it was 11:39. I lied. But yeah, I enjoyed that one.
How could you lie to the people like that? That's crazy.
It's on me.
We got misinformation on the pod.
I'm not a truther. Whatever the hell it is.
I'm not calling you a truther. Anyway, yeah. Death Riders were backstage responding to the challenge that was made by Rated FTR for the Trios title, saying, "No, you. We're challenging you for the titles. You don't get to challenge us. We challenge you." I'm not even kidding. That's literally what they said, basically. MPV backstage with the Hurt Syndicate. Or I guess I should say the Hurt Syndicate backstage, because it's not like he's with the Hurt Syndicate, like he's adjacent or something. But anyway, they worked out the kinks on the MJF move. And they're planning to kill Big Bill, it sounds like. So, not going to go well for Big Bill, I imagine. No. And then our main event was Penelope Ford and Megan Bain taking on Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm, the team collectively known as Thunder Tits. A solid match. Decent pace for TV, I thought. Out of the TV commercial break, I thought they had a lot of really good energy coming through. And there was a little bit of miscommunication between Bane and Penelope. I don't think they're breaking them up anytime soon. I think they're just planting the seeds for it early, because Megan Bane just, you know, haphazardly, as the big meats tend to do, just like throws like kicks and punches around and doesn't really care where they land. Pinning the championship in tag team action here. How we feeling with that, Charlie?
That's how you do it. If you're gonna do it in a tag match, right?
Okay.
That's one of those, if you're not going to do a Proving Grounds match, right, because she's already going for the title, well, Megan Bain pinned her, so have fun with that. Hot crowd, Thunder Tits was very over, and yeah, this was fun. This was a lot of fun.
It was over with Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, it was. Thunder Rosa's having a blast right now. She looked like she's having a good time with this tag team, and you know, they got the main event spot. Women main evented both AW Dynamite and Collision. You know, I still think that maybe they're kicking themselves a little bit for not main eventing Mariah and Tony. So maybe they're trying to show like they're, you know, this is just conspiracy theory, little theory for you. Maybe they're trying to like show, hey, we acknowledging little things here and there, giving rewards here and there, because both matches deserve to main event the shows that they were on. And yeah, I think I'm really enjoying what we're getting here in this little Tony versus Megan Bain thing, with the addition of her little buddy in Penelope Ford.
100%. I hope that like if this is not like going to be broken up immediately as soon as, you know, Megan Bain's not in the main title scene anymore, or like not immediately challenging for the title again, because unfortunately for her, given how they've used her for this run, if she doesn't win the title here, I do fear that she's going to disappear for a little bit. Maybe not like completely, but just not be featured as highly as, you know, this immediate run-in has been.
She could catalyst it and immediately be fighting, you know, Penelope. She could immediately jump into the Owen Hart. But, you know, I do worry because the Owen Hart's going to be announced this upcoming episode,
yeah,
so she'd
have
probably
to be in
won't.
It already, which I mean, that's
she'd
something
have to be a wild
can't
card.
Really, you can't really have your number one contender be,
you know, what they do have the wild card out, so like she could do the wild card thing.
They'd have to have the match, though, I feel like, right? If you don't want her to be the number one contender,
they're not going to do any matches till after Dynasty.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, that's fair.
We're just getting the brackets announced, so
that's fair.
Yeah,
I mean, that could be the gimmick there, then potentially. I don't know. WWE's done that before, huh?
Yet again, how strong does Megan Bain look?
Incredibly.
I mean, they have booked her so strong these past, like, you know, what is it, like 4 or 5, 6 weeks now? She's just been booked like someone contending for the world championship.
Absolutely.
So.
That'll take us through to Collision, buddy. Old pal, old chief.
Yeah. And, okay. We open up with Collision from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the old stomping ground. Milwaukee. We have Shivani and Nigel on the call. Tony Storm.
Shivone.
Makes her way to the ring.
Oh, so Tony and time.
She's just doing some yapping, playing up the scenes at Dynasty, doing the Tony Storm thing, laying in the ring. She hit her head on the sink. She remembered who she was. She promised to beat Bane at Dynasty. And the camera is like in Tony Storm's face. She's by the ropes. And out of nowhere, Penelope Ford kicks her in the fucking face, mogs the camera, and she just starts beating the crap out of her. Not really. Storm takes, because she's staring at the camera, Storm jumps her. Megan Bain lays her out with a lariat, and she stood tall with the women's title and told Storm to bow down. So, yeah, it was pretty damn good. Pretty damn solid opener to the show. The Death Riders. They're back. Claudio challenged Cope. Yada, yada, yada. Mox said there's only three people in the world he feared. His mother, his sister, and his wife. But that was until he met Marina Shafir.
That's understandable. I'm afraid of women, too.
He felt like he and Swerve should sit back and watch Shafir and Willow take each other out. My brother. Shafir told Nightingale to try and smile after getting her liver ripped out. It popped me. That's a very specific organ you've chosen.
I mean, what do you even need the liver for?
What do we do with the intestines or the spleen? I wonder. That I do. Jay White takes on and defeats Kevin Knight. Hey, yo. They announced this match on Dynamite and instantly kind of got the blood boiling a little bit, a little excitement. I think blood boiling means you're angry. It got the peen going. There you go. Fuck you, buddy. I do what I want.
No, you don't.
We got some highlights of Kevin Knight, one of the LA Dojo graduates, former tag champ along with Kushida and someone we've mentioned before. When we were talking about who could join the Hurt Syndicate, Kevin Knight was mentioned months ago. This was just a fun match, man. They had similar backgrounds. They've both been foreigners, right? And in New Japan. And it was just a fun match. Kevin Knight, he hits that. It's like a surprise super kick. And how he does it every time, it's so enjoyable. It really is fucking good. Jay White, he did all his things. He kind of controlled the match. They just had a really fun 10-minute New Japan type match. You know, New Japan vibe to it all, and I guess that makes sense, right?
I think that's when Jay White's at his best right now, is like when he wrestles somebody that's not necessarily had to have wrestled that style, but wrestles a similar enough style to what they do in Japan, you know? Because it's just what
this match totally would have been on, like, the New Japan shows in America. And they give him, like, you know, the 12 to 15 minutes, and that's just kind of the way it felt. After the match, Jay White took the mic, put him over, says he believes he'd see a lot more of Knight in AEW. Crowd gave him an ovation. He said he'd show the world he has the most elite because he needed his shot at the world title. Show everyone it's still the Switchblade era in all at All In. I hope so, man. And they announced on commentary that Kevin Knight is All Elite, which we kind of touched on earlier. I mean, this is big. This is awesome. This is the kind of guys you need to be bringing in to bring up the depth. And also, it's essentially like a draft pick. Kevin Knight, very young, 28 years old. He's gotten reps in New Japan. He graduated the dojo in, what, 2022? So, I mean, you're talking, he's really young in terms of wrestling. So, all the potential in the world. And if New Japan's not going to sign him, well, hey, you can come to America. And he also said, as well, oh, we forgot the other person we mentioned was Mina. Mina signed this year already too. So, like, she's kind of in the Josh Alexander vein. The AEW hasn't acknowledged it yet, but all the trade, you know, the trades are all saying
AEW flying close to the sun with you know, Forbidden Door to plan this year still, you know, trying to steal all the Japanese talent.
That's how you do it. What'd you think of the match, and what do you think of Kevin Knight being our newest All Elite wrestler?
I mean, Jay White pretty much always delivers. Again, when was the last time Jay White had a bad match? Can't think of one. You know what I mean? Everything I've seen from Kevin Knight so far has been good. So I would say as long as they don't fumble the bag, we should be aces here. It should be somebody that we can work in one way or another, even if he's not going to be like a mainstream single star on top of like you know, the main event world title scene, there are spots in AEW where a guy like this could easily be slotted into as like the third guy along two other really already established people, or even put him with some other unestablished people and just make them a gimmick that they can work with, that they can get over, and then use that. Kind of like how the Acclaimed did, you know, like they use like some sort of something to get you in on them first, and then they show off what they can individually do, and that impresses you in one way or another, you know. I don't know. Something could happen there. Oh, hear me out. This is going to sound insane. What if he teamed up with Leo and Andretti? Ooh.
Look, I was actually kind of thinking that a little bit too. I mean, I'm down. If who they're trying to recruit doesn't join them, look, Kevin might fit in very well with them. He might be part of the crew.
That could be interesting, potentially. I just randomly just came to me just now. I was like, huh.
Yeah, where could he slot in? I'd still love to see that Hurt Syndicate, though, man. Bringing in this young guy. He's their fucking, their Wheeler Yuta of the combat club. Hey,
maybe we just swap him and Cedric around in these two roles, and we say one of them can do one of them can do the other. Fuck, you know?
Bring in Cedric, too. Shelton's only got so much time left, right? Come on. Shelton's going to hand the throne over to him, you know? That's when they fucking take the throne and kick out Bobby Lashley. Oh, my God, we're 4 years throne, in the future.
He's got to beat him in an amateur wrestling match backstage, and that's never happening. Good luck.
The announcers throw to a video of MJF throwing the first pitch, and that's where All In will take place. And he noted that Bobby Lashley lived in Texas, but the Rangers asked for him instead. Yeah, buddy. Bringing this into the storyline?
Come on, man.
That's good shit. He threw out the first pitch on opening day. Good for MJF, by the way.
I wonder how good the pitch was.
I saw it. It was pretty good. TBS champion Mercedes Moné in a non-title match defeated Robin Renegade. Nice to see one of the Renegades back. Always love those girls. She actually got in a decent amount of offense, a little more than maybe you would have expected.
They used her in this kind of spot so many times that at some point you have to have gained some experience, otherwise you're just a nerd, you know? Like,
she is no nerd. So
otherwise you're just Fuego del Sol.
Oh, come on.
AKA Fuego del Cell.
Hey, what about Fuego 2?
No, Fuego 2 was good. Fuego 2 had charisma.
He was an American Nightmare, but that's besides the fact.
No.
She put her away with the moneymaker in the crossface. Shivani made his way to the ring. She calls herself the greatest. She's going to join the Owen Hart tournament. Billy Starks will be in the tournament as well. That annoyed her. She said Starks didn't have more heart than Robin Renegade, and said that whoever trained Starks sucked at pro wrestling. Hey. Out comes Athena to a nice reaction. Nigel McGuinness is just going on the list of how great she is. Mercedes swings at her. She gets knocked out with a forearm. Robin Renegade goes to help Mercedes. She gets shoved out of the way. O-Face bailed. Mercedes is out of here. I can see
the pieces. They're coming together.
They are indeed. Athena stands tall. It's got her title to end the segment. Athena is in AEW. She's returned finally after all these eons.
After what feels like a century being the only decent thing in Ring of Honor, no offense, Ring of Honor.
And, it's so great to see her. Athena is so good. This match is going to be incredible.
Could Athena, like, actually, like, win the tournament, do we think?
I have no idea who's going to win the women's tournament. Because I don't think it's either Athena or Mercedes. Which, maybe that leaves Jamie? I don't know.
Jamie would be cool.
Maybe Statlander? Look, there's
options. I think Jamie versus Tony Storm is a match that we should have for the title, even if Jamie wins it off of somebody else. I think that's a match we should do because there's just two.
Because who did Jamie win it off of? Was it Tony?
No, I think Tony might have won it off Jamie, maybe.
Because Jamie was
hurt. Jamie get
hurt,
right, when she lost the title? That might have been what happened there. Yeah, because they had to pull the ripcord, and that's when Tony Storm became
the ripcord,
like,
lariat? The haterade?
Indeed, they had to pull the ripcord, and Tony became the Lisan Al-Gaib, you know, of the women's division. So, you know,
it's going to be longtime listeners of this podcast that remember us pitching, because Mercedes, the whole thing was she's going to get bodyguards.
Yes.
Bodyguard.
But you said you pitching. This was all you.
They ended up going with Camille. But at the time, I would reference that. She posted about the Renegades and that she thought they were very talented and this, that, and the other. And the Renegades have always kind of been searching for a spot. You got the twin magic thing. Okay. Well, no matter what, she got a chance to wrestle one of them. And Robin kind of goes to help her. So look, I'm not saying, I'm never wrong. I'm just early. All right. Robin Renegade is eventually going to align with Mercedes, and she's going to bring her. I don't remember if it's twins, but they play up the twin thing in the ring. Can't remember if they're actual IRL twins. Don't ask Kofi Kingston about twins, but
whoa,
you know, you got Robin and Charlotte and, you know, whatever. They're going to be with Mercedes. The pieces are there. Never wrong. Just early. Called it 18 years ago. Golf, buddy. You know the vibes. I love this segment. The word of the day is energy, and you felt that from this, right? So fuck Mark Briscoe. We got our own word of the day. We got our own word of the day, and it's energy. All right.
We got to say about energy. It can neither be created nor destroyed.
AKA my ass.
Whoa.
All right, Julia Hart and Queen Aminata. We get our recap. Aminata's with Lexi. She informed the audience that due to a wrist injury she picked up in the match, she won't be clear for tonight's action. Which I was a little sad about at first because I was looking forward to Queen Aminata versus Jamie Hayter. Billy's going to take her place. Out comes Serena Deeb. This could have all been prevented if she listened. Aminata made the wrong call. She refused to listen to Deeb's trash. Deeb said that since Aminata had a few weeks off anyways, she could do some reading. She gives her the binder of 1,000 holds.
It has to be like a sacred artifact of pro wrestling lore.
Love this so much. And not just because she's one of our four pillars, of course. I love the binder of 1,000 holds, man. When we're talking about good shit in wrestling, and it's a little cheesy, I love it. Because you know what?
What's wrong with cheesy? It's pro wrestling.
It's absolutely.
It's men. It's sweaty men and women in tights, like flaming their bodies together on a like hard surface.
I love the cheesiness, and this is exactly what I love. Binder of 1,000 holds. Are we gonna see her bust out like a fucking Zack Sabre esque new hold again? By the way, because she's done it before.
I was gonna say she's kind of like the female Zack Sabre in some ways. You know what I mean? So like, you know, in the way that Serena Deeb has been in the last few years. You know, like.
What if she's a hybrid of Tomohiro Ishii and Zack Sabre Jr.?
That would be incredible, and I'd be down to see it. Because she hits hard enough. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, when Jamie Hayter inevitably does rewin the title at some point, we should probably run that match as well, if I'm being honest.
Please. I almost said plox. When the fuck was that relevant? You remember people saying that instead of please?
Nope.
Wow. How old am I? Fuck you, buddy. Don't answer that.
Well, no, like I've heard similar stuff to that, but
plox.
Yeah, not heard that one. That sounds like some like Roblox shit.
They used to. Yeah, that was like the COD 4 lobbies, man. Plox. Plox. Yeah, wow.
I was.
I like, haven't thought, you know, about that word since I was a wee boy. Learning tree defeated Top Flight. Yada yada yada. We know how that went. Beat their ass. Dante jumped over Big Bill. It's a big moment of the match. Air Fox. Slid in to help them after the crew came out, and that left the crew looking, they were a man down. Lexi Nair's guest was Jamie Hayter. She welcomed her back. She's in the ring with a young whippersnapper. I respected how hard she fought. She's going to give a ton of fight, but she's entering the Owen Hart, and she's going to beat her ass. Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia's town hall. Pretty good stuff here. They're just setting up that, you know.
No, that's not what this segment was called.
Well, what the hell was it called to you?
It was called Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia Come Face to Face.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, they came all right, and the match is going to be awesome. All right? It's that, you know, someone pointed this out on Blue Sky, and after the fact I thought about it, and they're so fucking right. They were talking as if the match wasn't already made. But they showed the graphic before the segment.
It's funny. It's because, like, I think...
That kind of stuck with me after I thought about how the segment went.
Even both said last time they had their actual match that they felt like this wasn't done. So, like, because of the way it ended. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you know, like, it's...
It's weird that there are times in pro wrestling when, like, you know, another feud, we would be like, oh, but we should end it here, even though it's literally like the same exact kind of build, like, that this has had up or whatever, you know, like, but like,
yeah,
and this is a case where we say, like, no, this is obvious that it should continue here. I can't explain to you what those reasons are to an individual person. I know what it is for me. I could explain that, but, you know,
yeah,
but like, at the same time, I think it's funny that both me and you landed there, and it clearly so did everyone backstage and the two of them. So, I mean, you know,
this is going to be one last time. Better Man will win. Cool.
Do we think Adam Cole might actually win this title here? I mean, I don't think so.
I think the odds are pretty good.
Okay.
So
maybe get Danny into like some other championship scene for later in the year or something. I'm not sure.
Athena and Billy are backstage giving us our some Ring of Honor.
Is there
filling
a wild
here.
Card in the men's too?
There usually is, yeah.
Danny? Question mark?
I'd be down. Athena was mocking Mercedes Cadence. Said if she wants to be a passive-aggressive bitch, she'd get hit.
Whoa.
Keep her name and her minion's name out of her mouth.
Holy shit, she's finally defending Billy Starks. What happened on Ring of Honor television to bring about this development? Jesus.
She entered the Owen Hart tournament. She sure would let Starks let her down, but promised to watch closely anyway. Athena entering, fuck yeah. I'm in. They're stacking these tournaments, right? So
it looked good.
What more can we want?
Everything. All of it. Every match. All 5 stars. All the time.
Wheeler Yuta defeats Dax Harwood. And, you know, kind of this... My main...
The gimmick here is he's going to face a member of them, and it wasn't announced too. And you were like, anyone but Wheel...
I was like, yeah, that's the match on paper that doesn't sound the sexiest to me, but hey, it is what it is. The story of this, though, yet again with Wheeler, he's continuing to weave Bryan Danielson's offense into his arsenal. And every single match, he's adding a little bit more. And look, who would have thought Wheeler Yuta would be the one to carry on his legacy? And that's kind of insane. I can't wait to see.
Probably Bryan Danielson.
When this fully develops. There was a really cool moment here where Harwood escaped. So he kept trying to get into the cattle mutilation. Harwood escaped, got the sharpshooter on. Really good shit there. And Yuta hit him with a seatbelt pin combo for the win. So Claudio gave Yuta a pat on the back. It's actually really nice to see Yuta.
Claudio character development, question mark?
It's really nice to see Yuta getting some respect from his crew. Because, you know, I can't even really remember what they were trying to do when they were like saying he had Stockholm syndrome. That's what it was. And it was like, they completely forgot about how great Wheeler is as a character. And it feels like, you know, maybe that was just for the night. Cause they've totally reverted that. And they've recognized, like, again, Wheeler is, you know, he is the guy, the young guy in this group that can potentially be the leader one day. He's the one that's, you know, I'm assuming in kayfabe
selected as the Lord Commander's steward is what you're saying.
Yeah. He's the survivor of Hath Sin. So he wants to become Bryan Danielson. And that's something that people respect. And after the match, Harwood's arguing with that ref, that son of a bitch, Paul Turner, man. Thank you, Dax. This was babyface action for me. He got restrained in the corner. He's, you know, a little forcefully.
What did Paul Turner do to you, man?
Don't worry about it. Cash came to clear out the security off
what
of his...
What didn't he do to you? My bad.
Yeah, thank you. Cash came to make sure everything's all good, and Harwood shoves him down. And, you know, sometimes we all know pro wrestling requires you got to be a bit of an actor. But sometimes you never really know how good of an
I
actor
wrestling
is
was real, Charlie. What the fuck?
Until they're thrown into a certain situations. Cash's expressions here? Bravo, man. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Cash actually looked like his best friend just betrayed him. And he was heartbroken. And you felt that emotion from him. Fucking good job to you, Cash Wheeler. Now just be careful. You know, we know what FTR stands for. Just be careful now.
Funky Tom Rizzlers?
I think so. But Dax realized he fucked up. This was the classic, you know, I just punched my desk and it actually fucking put a hole in it. Oh, shit, I fucked
up. Like those TikTokers that, like, shoot a hole in their desk with their guns or something like that?
Yeah, he just fucked up. The crowd's letting him hear it. Wheeler gets up and shoves him away. Cash Wheeler, of course, not Wheeler Yuta. The crowd, let's Harwood hear it. Yeah, this was really, really good between the two of these guys, and I can't wait to see where it goes. Duke, what'd you think of this one? Just the, I guess, Yuta getting the win over Dax, and Dax's frustrations coming to light, and he's using it against his best friend, even though he didn't mean to.
Opened up with like some headlocks on the ground and stuff like that, which we were just like, oh, of course, you know, Death Riders, you know. But yeah, I mean, Dax always is going to pull something, at least at everybody he wrestles. Dax's singles matches this year, I'd have to look at them all, but I'm pretty sure they've all been good. Solid stuff. I'm more interested in the story stuff after, for sure, 100%. It does make me worry that they're not going to win the titles, though, because of the dissension in the ranks. So I don't know how to feel about that. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, like you said, Cash does a really good job selling the moment here. I think that if this feud goes longer than a few weeks, or longer than like past the pay-per-view or whatever, then I think that's going to be like the thing that gets replayed in all the video packages leading up to the big blow-off for it, you know?
Yeah, it should be pretty fun to follow as well. So I'm curious where this development's going to go, right? Alicia was there. Is it a tout or a toot?
You beat me.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard both. Like, I feel like when they... yeah, whatever. Alicia's back there with Nick Wayne, Kip, and Mother Wayne. They're immediately interrupted by the crew. They ask what's up with Wayne's boy, AR Fox. Sussed him out that the crew wanted to deal with the dirty work for him. His issues with Fox are well in the past. He told Wayne, hear him out. No one knew Fox like Wayne did. So they're trying to... Look, they're looking for a new guy. Impending doom. They don't want 3-on-2. Maybe Nick Wayne help him out with the crew, which would also, if you're looking for a recruiting aspect, that would also kind of bring in Kip and Mother Wayne. So you'd have a lot of backup on your hands. Or just try and steal Lexi from Top Flight. That'd also help. Try that.
Hologram. But what would she do with the crew, though? Like, I get what her role in Top Flight is, but like, what would she, could she fill the same role with crew? And
yeah, bro, she'd be wearing a fucking funky jacket.
Oh shit, we might actually need to get her a jacket now, just in case.
Now we're talking. See, look, I know how to print the money. Get her a fucking spiky jacket.
How many jackets of those do you think they sold? Come on,
dude, 664.
Exactly. Thank you.
I got the exact count right here. Truth is, I made them, guys. That's why I'm trying to push this. That's why I'm trying to push this.
I made them in my garage. I need to move this inventory.
Look, I don't actually like these guys. I just want you to buy the fucking jackets, all right? So lock it.
I lost my ass making these t-shirts because I like Leo Rush so much. I need you guys to buy them. Come on.
I sold Scandinavian fleas. All right. Hologram takes on and defeats Blake Christian. What were they calling him? Vanilla Ice? I don't know. I don't know what people were calling Blake Christian, but Lee Johnson was out there too. And yeah, they got their shit in. Hologram kicked his ass. Blake did his thing. Blake's very, very young. So, you know, he's just kind of getting what I thought was the Viva Van spotlight this week. And at one point he fought off the portal bomb, handsprung onto Hologram's shoulders, and Hologram hit the portal bomb anyway. Thought that was a really fun finish.
Hologram hit him with the hollow slam.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Chris and Thunder Rosa were the guests for Lexi, both in the Owen Hart. Statlander said nobody could stop her. Rosa disagreed. She never lost a woman's title and would scratch and crawl to get it back. They shake hands and part ways. That's it. That's it for Collision this week. There's only 6 matches announced for Dynasty. We'll probably end up doing like a little preview show. And just do a Dynasty predictions on their own this week. Because there's only 6. I feel like we're missing half the card, so there's no point in us doing it now. So that's why your Dynasty predictions are not attached to this video. And hey, that means you get to hang out with us more this week, right? So, Duke, that being said... You get to
dabble your gook twice as much this week.
I guess any closing thoughts? I thought we had another enjoyable week, and we're building up to Dynasty. You know, and while you're giving your closing thoughts, I'll read you off the Dynamite card after. So yeah, now that we've gone through both shows, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, Dynasty is like shaping up to be a good show. I wish I knew more what was on it, because I could say for sure how good of a show it's shaping up to be. But so far, I mean, the
the storylines that we're going to be continuing to like develop, and some of the ones that I think are going to pay off big, like with Swerve, I think it's going to be so. The first pop for Swerve winning the title was huge, right? This one's going to be even bigger, I think. And I think that's insane to even think about that it's a possibility, you know, like.
And I think the reaction if he doesn't win will also be insane.
Oh, yeah, because then where do you go from there? I mean, who's going to be the one to step up if it's not Swerve? If Swerve is not the chosen one, who is, right? You know? Is it Daniel Garcia at that point?
Some
you know?
Insane, insane stuff there. This week on Dynamite, our go-home show, if you will, mixed tornado tag team, Moxley and Shafir versus Swerve and Willow. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Will Ospreay returns. Cope versus Claudio Castagnoli. Tony Storm versus Penelope Ford at the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament brackets will be revealed. That's all we got as of when we're recording this, guys. So,
oh yeah, shit. Yeah. Well, do you think we'll maybe probably do like the bracketology, because it'll probably be like around the same time in the week, I would think. Because if we were like probably try and keep up with stuff this week, right? I would think so. Like,
yeah.
So we throw bracketology maybe in with predictions or something like that. I don't even know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, if we get the full bracket, we'll do that, and that'll be a fun little video. So
hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It's also CinemaCon week, guys. So if anything crazy happens, our other channel, ESE
Fantasy.
It's going to
end up being the busiest week of the year for us, straight up. Like, and I hope not, but it could be, you know?
Yeah, no. We got Daredevil on Wednesdays where we talk that.
It's Daredevil time? Oh, shit.
And this show came out this week on Monday. So, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed the Monday release. We look forward to Dynasty on the weekend. And if you don't give a shit about predictions, so you're only here for the good shit.
Yeah.
Dynasty immediately after. We will be here. Usually about like 2 hours after Dynasty, our podcast is posted. So.
Yep.
It's either there for you for the next day or when you're fucking playing some Marvel Rivals. That being said, you got to be the man to beat the man. And we will catch you next time on Eat, Sleep, Elite.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
We all know who the man is. It's War Dog.
Hold on. Wardlow for the wild card.
Oh.
Fuck everything. Let's fucking go. That's how we end this. Fuck everyone.
Take us home, War Dog.
Take us home, baby. Oh.